brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Last night I said we'd have somebody in studio this evening. We normally don't do that. Just like Doug McBurney doesn't tolerate sponsors, we don't tolerate guests normally in studio. But I want to let you know about some of the people that have supported this show over the years, financially or encouragement, attended our seminars. We've got, but I'll just list some in law enforcement, not by name, but by position. We've got probably the highest up the ladder is a federal judge who's been a longtime supporter. In fact, our little kids, our one-year-old, two-year-old, and four-year-old, half the clothes they wear comes from this federal judge's kids. His kids grow out of them just as our kids are getting to be the size to grow into them. A county prosecutor. Counties might have a number of prosecutors. It's the lead prosecutor in a county, supporter of Bob Inyart Live, especially our criminal justice material and our Bible teaching. Many sheriff's deputies around the country, especially in a handful of states. A county sheriff, in fact. Police officers. I remember I did a TV show in Washington, D.C. a while back. I stayed in the home of a federal marshal. That was fun to talk about all the Clinton scandals that he was personally involved with. A local Denver area judge. Lawyers, which I do have to apologize to the audience for. I know it brings the show down a bit, but we have a number of lawyers who tune in on a regular basis. But some, we've won over some, and they've abandoned their career, so that's good. A former U.S. attorney who was appointed by Ronald Reagan and reappointed by Bush, and there are only a handful of U.S. attorneys around the country, and he is currently representing me and two friends of mine in a lawsuit against a local college for kicking us Christians off campus. A state governor, not the governor, but his law partner. There's a state governor, Frank Keating, in Oklahoma, and I won't mention, but he has a law firm, and one of his partners, not just an attorney with the firm, but one of the partners came to an all-day seminar in Tulsa, along with, now I forgot about this, but along with the district attorney, the Tulsa County, what's the county in? Tulsa's in, I'm not sure, but their district attorney was also in the seminar all day long. So tonight I have a federal law enforcement officer in the studio, but I've asked him not to use his name because our society is so very intolerant against Christians who promote traditional morality and who stand for traditional family values that I'm afraid for a federal officer to be publicly associated with Bob Inyart Live. Bob Inyart Live could be harmful to his career. So, Anthony, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you in studio. You and I have known each other for some time now. We've been friends over the phone and over email.
That's right.
And I know that I asked you if you would join me so we could talk about law enforcement, since that's what you do at a federal level. But before we start that, you were also involved in Operation Desert Storm, isn't that right?
That's correct, Bob. I was. I started out my military career as cadet in the U.S. Air Force Academy, which is just down the road at Colorado Springs.
Yeah, beautiful place.
That's right. I did change, though. I went over to the Army, accepted commission there, and I was an executive officer in a field artillery unit during Desert Storm.
Field artillery unit. Now, that's not a shoulder mount.
No, that's the big guns.
that's the big guys. And you guys, generally speaking, you guys did a very good job in that war.
Thank you
for being there. Well, before we get into law enforcement then, do you have any thoughts about Desert Storm? We mobilized 500,000 men.
Well, I think the thing first and foremost is we should have taken Sadly Insane out of power when we had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We had him on the run, We're one nation that tends to be nicer than God in so many respects, and even though we could have vanquished his power at that point, we let him go.
Right. We let him go. His military had completely crumbled. His Republican Guard could to say it was no match for our military is just it's an absurd understatement.
Bob, I think one of the most touching things I saw was the army, their armies actually coming out and surrendering to our news people.
Right, exactly.
That shows the power that we have in the United States.
And, you know, that was a long time ago now. That's an old war.
Yes, I'm not a youngster.
Well, it's not that old long ago, but that's an old war. And our munitions, our weapon systems have been vastly upgraded since then. In fact, it's not an exaggeration to say that we fought that war with an old generation of weapons.
That would be correct.
Yeah. And today, I mean, the ability that we have today is so – we saw it in Afghanistan. What a brilliant prosecution of a war. But the tragedy in Iraq – is that we were virtually cruel to the Iraqi people because we could have liberated them the way we liberated the Afghans.
And it was sad to see. I think our credibility went down when we did that.
Right.
Because we didn't follow through with something that we committed ourselves to.
Yeah, and Saddam Hussein, he declared victory after that war. In the Arab world, the way Islam somehow infects the brain, the Arab world pretty much believes it. They think that Saddam Hussein won. It was humiliating in the immediate weeks and months afterward, but they think he won because he's still there.
Right. You know, I used to host military officers from other countries, such as Jordan and whatnot, from Muslim backgrounds. And what you said reflects the way that they felt about the war from their own cultural background.
Mm-hmm. And the real tragedy is, you know, George Bush Sr., you know, what was going through his mind? Well, we know that he loves the United Nations, and he seemed to care about the United Nations Charter as though that were his Bible. And I guess that's probably – he wanted the approval of the world – so if it meant leaving a few million Iraqis as inmates in this prison without walls in Iraq under a tyrant who would brutalize his own people, then so be it. We'll sacrifice those people so that what? The UN will like us? The UN doesn't like us.
No. And actually, every time we do something like that, go out and stick our necks out to start a war or get involved, and we don't follow through, we hurt our credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason I'm not a military officer today, because our government would not stand behind us.
Wow, yeah. And then, you know, in Afghanistan, it's September 11th. People think about God, and then all of a sudden, it's over a few months, and they forget God. We'll be right back.
Can a Christian lie?
Stop the tape. Now, that's a pre-recorded. I don't know why we call them pre-recorded. What other kind of recordings are there? That's a recorded commercial break, but we like to do live spots here in the show to let you guys know that after the program, for about 10 minutes, I like to stay in the studio, and we route the order line calls into the studio, and my goal is each night after the show to speak with two folks and to take orders from two people, preferably from different cities around the country, because we know that without your support, Bob and Yurt Live, it cannot continue to grow and to fight the battle that we're fighting. And what is the battle? Well, if you've been listening for any time, in fact, if you've been thinking for any amount of time, whether you've ever heard the show or not, all you have to do is think, and you realize that the world is headed in the wrong direction in a hurry, and so is our country. And so is our government and many of our churches even. Our culture is broken and it's godless. And our families are being destroyed. Kids grow up without self-respect. In fact, they're miserable. There's a battle going on. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the heavy artillery. That's how to win the battle in the lives of the people around you. So how can you and I work together to win people to God, to help people to repent from their sins and turn toward the Lord? Well, we work together to do that. and I'm asking you for your help. You can call us at 1-888-8-NER after the show. You could sign up for our monthly Bible studies, or I pastor Denver Bible Church. You could sign up for the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or even get the best shows of the month we mail to you on audio tape. That's 1-888-8-NER. And I'm here with Anthony in studio, a federal law enforcement officer. Anthony, the point right before the break is September 11th, there was such attention given to God in so many respects, from so many different places you'd never think of it.
Right.
And boy, it's a half a year later, and that's all dried up.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I saw the same phenomena during Desert Storm. As we're going, packing up and getting ready to mobilize to go out to battle, you find that most people aren't atheists. You don't find an atheist in a foxhole to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd actually find some of these guys praying who would normally go out to the bars or whatnot, and they're starting to pray about the matter and seek
right.
God.
Right.
And as soon as the danger is past, they've returned to their own ways.
Yeah, that's such a good point. You know, there was an article out from Australia just a couple weeks ago. I bet you it's here on my co-host. Hey, I didn't introduce you to Al.
I've seen Al. You know,
Al, since... meet Anthony. Okay, yes.
You know, my computer is Cindy. Still wants to meet Al.
Cindy, your computer is Cindy. That's right. In fact, Cindy instant messaged Al some months ago, and Al was all, he was sort of blushing. But here, I got an article here, Australia's Associated Press from May 2nd, about in Australia, U.S. sailors came to shore, and in Perth, Australia, mm-hmm. the prostitutes had to be basically given a day off because of the amount of business they received from the aircraft carrier, the USS John C. Stennis.
Oh.
I hadn't heard of that one.
You know, when I was the only military officer in my unit that mm-hmm. was not vulgar in the way he spoke or conducted himself. Mm. And it didn't used to be like that. And you go back and you see the general order that George Washington gave. Mm. He was looking for righteousness and a good, clean living in his army. Mm. They expected that. And today, the opposite expected. They expect you to be vulgar. They expect you to go out and
right.
do that.
So three U.S. warships, the aircraft carrier USS John C. Stennis, the guided missile cruiser, the USS Port Royal, and the combat support ship, the USS Bridge, they were all returning from taking part in the war in Afghanistan, our war against terror, and they dock in Australia, and the thing Australia notices that hits the wire service is the prostitutes had to be given a day off because of all the business they got.
And you know what's sad? Is you do have Christians in the military, but they're the ones that's usually ridiculed, and they're ridiculed by the people that are going out and visiting the prostitutes.
Right. Yeah, right. Now, why don't we talk about that? We've started out with your past a decade ago in Desert Storm, but let's come forward to this week. You told me you're a federal officer, and I know that you flew to Denver.
That's correct.
Now, I did a story just a couple months ago about federal officers carrying their guns on planes and how that's a good thing, and we encourage them to do that. How about you? What did you do?
Well, I did carry my weapon. Matter of fact, I wish everyone would be able to carry a weapon. I did go on board an aircraft and carry the weapon in there.
Does anybody find out that?
Actually, when federal agents go in, we do have a process that we go through that I can't go into detail. Mm-hmm. But at some point in time, you do meet up with the captain of the plane mm-hmm. and identify yourself. And captain, he was...
What does he think? Does he say, oh, no, don't bring that evil piece of metal on my plane?
Actually, he said, we need more of you guys.
Ah.
He enjoyed
nice.
Having someone. And, you know, an armed society is a polite society.
Right.
And we would not have had the problems that we've had in the airlines this past year mm-hmm. if we had God-fearing men wearing weapons mm-hmm. on board those planes.
Yeah, that's so true. September 11th could not have happened just with the foresight, the wisdom of allowing pilots to be armed. Just with that one small step.
Right.
September 11th could not have happened in Tel Aviv. It could not have happened on El Al Airlines.
That's correct.
Because they take security seriously. We don't. The Bush administration is against pilots being armed.
Mm-hmm.
What's with that?
Well, matter of fact, some of the agencies in the federal law enforcement community were not even allowed to carry their weapons on board the aircraft until after September 11th events.
What a trap. So some federal law enforcement agencies were not allowed.
Yeah, by policy. They were preventing their agents from carrying a weapon. They said if you're going to fly from point A to point B, you need to have that thing unloaded and packed away and put into the suitcase on the belly of the aircraft. But since September 11th, many of those agencies have changed their policies.
Quite often when there is a crisis that, you know, we talked about there's not an atheist in a foxhole, conservatism gets a boost forward in a crisis. You know, when things are falling apart, the liberal platitudes tend to be less important.
That's right.
Yeah, if a crime is in the middle of being committed, you know, somebody who's against, you know, a gun control advocate will pull out his gun and shoot somebody when he's going to be the victim of a crime. We've seen that happen, of course.
Well, I see that every time I walk up on a crime scene and the victims see me and realize who I am and know that I'm carrying a weapon. It gives them peace of mind. It doesn't make them go spastic that I have a weapon.
Right, right. They're encouraged.
And they wish I'd been there a few minutes earlier.
In fact, and we're here in our underground bunker in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and I imagine you being a federal officer, you have your weapon on you now.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and no one here got nervous.
No.
Said, oh, no. No, it's a comforting feeling, but
matter of fact, I put a smile on your face when you found out I had one.
That's right. That's right. We felt better, and we've been polite to you ever since. Who knows what we might have done to start with. Okay, so the pilot was happy. What I'd like to do, of course, we'll invite people to call in 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. But I'd like to ask you about law enforcement. That's one of the topics that we're big on here because as the pastor of Denver Bible Church, we tell people that the Bible is a criminal justice textbook.
That's correct.
The Bible is filled with principles for a criminal justice system, but it's God's system. So it's a pretty cool system. I have a friend, Anthony, who's being scammed on the internet right now.
Mm-hmm.
She has been taken in by an orphanage in India that doesn't exist.
Right.
It's obvious when you look at it objectively, it's a scam.
Right.
And she's maybe out a few $100, but she's still into it. So she might continue to get scammed until we can knock some sense into her.
Right.
But when there are crimes like that happening, I felt like, well, I could call the FBI. But what's the sense? I don't think they'll even want to hear about it.
You know, in some respects that's true, and in others it's not. You do have many of the agencies out there that will get involved at certain points with scams. For example, the scams you're mentioning there, if they send payments through the mail and you have the Postal Inspection Service gets involved, you also have the Secret Service, and as you already mentioned, the FBI will get involved in various aspects. However, because our justice system has ran for so many years under an anti-biblical, can't allow God in attitude, they are now overrun with criminality out there in the world. They
so
can't
these,
handle
these
the cases.
Crimes don't make the cut.
No, they don't. The U.S. attorneys actually give guidelines for the agencies as to what they will or will not accept.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, many of these people out there, unless their losses have gone up to maybe $100,000, the agency is really not going to look at it because they can't get any prosecution out of it from the U.S. attorneys.
Right. The U.S. attorney would say, are you kidding me? I'm fighting child pornography, where the U.S. Supreme Court's even against us on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fighting drug dealers. I'm fighting terrorists. There's just this undercurrent. It's like an acceptable level of crime that we allow. It's the background radiation of our system.
Right, and the average citizen, he's not going to lose $100,000. But what he does lose may be all that he's been able to save for his life savings.
Right.
And you're right, they will not look at it because it doesn't meet their cutoff.
Quite often. Let's go to, you mind if we take a couple calls?
Go right ahead.
Okay, 1-800-8-N-YARDS. Let's start out in South Bend, Indiana. Rich, you're on with Anthony.
Yeah, hi.
Howdy.
Hey, while you have an expert there, I was wondering, I might be stupid or something, but at least my friends tell me.
Yeah.
But if you shoot a bullet in an airplane, won't it depressurize?
All right. Well, let's talk about that. A lot of people wonder about that.
Right.
And I guess that depends if you're a good aim or not.
Yeah.
Actually, federal agents have been going under additional training since September 11th, specifically aimed at being on board aircraft. And they're instructed where or where not to shoot. And I won't go into details because I don't want a terrorist to figure out where they want to shoot at.
Yeah, right. You don't want to shoot through the window into the engine.
Right, but
avoid that.
Right.
Avoid
right.
shooting into the cockpit.
Right. But by and large, no. If we were to shoot and it pierced the side, say like the side or the top of the aircraft, it's not going to cause some damage. I mean, we've seen too many
movies
where
right a window gets shot out and six people get
right,
sucked
out the window
a
right no
hole.
Yeah, that does not happen. That's not reality. That's Hollywood. So hopefully that answers your question.
But also, if you, especially if you're using some the ammunition hollow point, if do you use hollow point ammo?
yes I use hollow point,
and that's designed to pretty much come apart in the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So that it makes an impact.
Correct.
A bullet might just pass through flesh and exit the back, and the guy might not even realize he was shot for a minute or two while he's shooting you. But a hollow point bullet, and you guys have high-tech bullets, where it sort of comes apart inside the target in his body.
Right, to do the damage.
And it throws him against the wall, and it stands a better chance of killing him.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
No, maybe if he had a pipe bomb or something and it blew up on an outside wall, that wouldn't be good.
Well, no, but if he had a pipe bomb, I'd rather he'd be dead than alive.
But, you know, if he's shot and he's dead, he won't have time to use it.
Right.
Yeah, but a pipe bomb actually should never get on the airplane to start with.
No, but of course they can rather easily.
Right, because even I think we've had some recently where people are getting right up to the board of the plane and they had something they shouldn't have, and they're only discovered because of the random testing.
Search.
Right,
right.
So,
and hey, Anthony and Rich,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard Doug McBurney on the last Friday night show. He sits in with me, and he said that he boarded a plane, and this 65-year-old grandma was searched. You know, her shoes. Take
yeah.
off your shoes. And he was searched. And this 30-year-old, obviously Arab young man, went right on. Nobody even made eye contact with him. And that's because of our hypersensitivity. You think, you know, there's no way we're going to search a young Middle Eastern man because we don't want to be accused of anything.
Yeah, it makes you wonder where our common sense
yeah, we
went out the window. Or
a long time with the rest of the contents of the plane. Hey, thank you, Rich.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, we depressurized decades ago, and the common sense is all out there.
Yeah.
It's gone. All right, so, Anthony, what I'd like to do in the second half of the show is if you and I could talk through how to run a criminal justice system correctly.
Sounds great.
Since ours is so broken, and we got to say goodbye to our Denver audience that only carries the show for a half hour, but we're going to try, beginning in June, perhaps, to be on the full hour and maybe a bit earlier in Denver. Hey, we've got a live commercial break here, and I might do something I've never done, ask a federal law enforcement agent to help me talk about some of our materials on the air. Anthony, would you be willing to do that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So, now, I don't know if that means I have to send a commission to the federal government if we sell a higher number this evening.
No, I can't do that.
Can't do that. So, but just you as personally, Have you received any of our Bible study materials?
Yes. Now, I recently get your God's Criminal Justice System videotape.
The videotape, mm-hmm, right?
A while back. And then also the
plot. We have that on audio tape also.
Right. And I'm working on my way through the plot.
The plot, our manuscript on the overview of the whole Bible.
And it looks good. I won't go in detail because I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Yeah, you don't want to spoil it.
But if you've been wondering about how to put the Bible together, how to get the overview, the broad overview of what does this all mean, I would suggest you to go ahead and purchase the plot. It's inexpensive, and it's well worth the money.
Oh. Well, that's really kind of you to say that, Anthony. We, we point out in chapter one of the plot, we list some of the disputes that Christians have with one another, the doctrinal debates. And you might recall some of them that are listed there. But let's say, do Christians go through the tribulation, or do they get raptured before, mm-hmm, during, or after the tribulation? Are Christians supposed to keep the Sabbath or not?
Right.
Are they eternally secure, or can they lose their salvation?
Right.
Or is there perseverance of the saints?
And you lay a foundation to be able to answer all those questions in the plot.
Well, the fun thing is, and they go on and on, the debates, there's so many of them,
mm-hmm,
what Christians believe. How about miracles and healings? Should we see miracles and healings in our lives every day, or should we not?
Right.
Does God answer good prayers, or does he often not? And you could take the Bible and load up verses on either side of any of these debates. You could put a lot of verses.
Right. I've studied for years. I've studied on these subjects. But I'm not going to answer the questions
you've
been asking.
No, of course not. We don't want to.
No.
We want to leave the suspense.
That's right.
And we point out that you could have hundreds and hundreds of Bible verses on two sides of all these different issues. And when you understand the overview of the Bible, they all come together. The tension is resolved. They make sense. So call and order the plot. We're back, Bob and Yurt Live, and I'm here with a federal law enforcement agent, Anthony, whose last name we're not using. And I'd like to ask you, Anthony, about God's criminal justice system as compared to America's.
Right.
In the Bible, God does authorize three forms of punishment for a convicted criminal.
That's correct.
You're familiar with those concepts?
Yes, I am. Well, first, you have restitution is one level.
Restitution. If somebody's a crime of economics, if somebody's a thief.
Right. And most people understand that one. They understand restitution because they understand what it's like to have something taken away from them.
Right.
And they want to get it back.
And God says you got to pay back.
That's right.
And if you, and depending on the circumstances, you got to pay back double. That's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe triple or quadruple.
Right.
Depending on how egregious the theft was and what you did with it afterward and how precious or irreplaceable the item was that you stole. So God sets up the system.
Right. You know, the restitution that God set in the Bible, mm-hmm, doesn't take into account how much you earn as a thief.
Oh,
to
yeah.
To be able to pay it back.
Yeah, good point.
And the federal system does. They're kinder and more gentler than God when it comes to this issue.
Right. Yeah, God says if somebody steals a car worth $10,000, mm-hmm, he has to return the car. If he gets caught, you return the car, and you have to then pay $10,000.
Right.
And if you can't pay it, you don't have the money, which a lot of thieves won't, then you take it out of his hide. You make him work it off.
Oh, don't tell that to the liberals. It shakes them up.
Yeah, right. You make him work it off. And then if he does that, then in an earthly sense, then he has paid his debt. And the guy who was robbed has really been made whole.
Right.
Because he had to go through the hassle of having his property stolen, but he got his car back and he got $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, most people understand that basic concept, but when you translate it into the way our criminal justice system works today in America, mm-hmm, you find out that that's not the case.
Okay, so restitution is one. God authorized three forms of punishment. Let's take a call, and then we'll get to forms of punishment 2 and 3. Let's go back to Indiana. James, speak your mind.
Yeah, hello, guys.
Howdy, hi. James. You're on with Anthony.
Awesome. How's it going, Anthony?
All right. How you doing, James?
I'm doing good. I'm on Bob and Your Live, so doing pretty good.
All right.
Okay, I'm getting ready to quote a Bible verse, maybe. So.
Okay, warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we here at Bob and Your Live know that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
Thank you. Okay, Anthony, I got a question for you. Paul talks about the government not bearing the sword in vain, and how they have authority to execute judgment.
All right.
Now, as a citizen, I don't feel that I can go out and, of course, execute judgment, you know. But now you're working for the government, and how do you feel about having the power and the authority to take somebody's life? I'm for like a defense, personal self-defense. Yeah,
right. Well, James, not just a federal agent, but anybody, barring criminals, has that right to defend themselves
from the Bible's perspective,
and
from our Constitution.
Right,
right. So we all have the right to defend ourselves if we're being threatened, or not only if you are, but if someone near you.
Yeah.
If you could intervene to defend someone, you have that right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But a law enforcement officer does have additional authority that we don't have, that I don't have, that you would have, Anthony. You can pursue a criminal and apprehend him in a way that it would be wrong for me to do. Mm-hmm. For example, if I knew somebody had committed a robbery and now they're in their home, mm-hmm. I can't go in his home and drag him out.
Right.
That's wrong. I have to go. Not only is it the law, but it's God's will. It's God's system that you have to go to the governing authorities, and then it's your job.
And by the way, as governing authorities, we derive that power of being able to take someone's liberty away and take them into custody and whatnot. We derive that from God, not from the people.
Do you feel that by having that authority, you no longer feel that, you're not getting back at that person, you're just doing the righteous judgment?
In other words, you're asking, do you think some law enforcement officers get off on a vengeance attitude?
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel different than a citizen would, like saying, I'm going to go kill that person, you know, in a vengeful, murderous attitude, rather than a righteous, you know, judgment attitude that you're executing righteousness?
Well, James, you're bringing us to a great question. Go ahead, Anthony, then I've got a follow-up.
Thank you. I'm a little nervous. But.
That's all right, James. James, first of all, I'll let you know that I know at least in the federal agencies, you know, all the states, they do their own thing, and I can't answer for them. But the federal agencies, they teach their agents a continuum of escalation where you respond in the manner that's appropriate for the level of threat that's given to you. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were to walk up to you and say, like, you're being disorderly, and I asked you to please step down off of that podium and come with me and talk with me, now, if you resisted, I don't have the right to pull out my weapon and shoot you dead.
Yeah.
Escalation,
right.
Of force.
Right. That's an improper response.
That's what the
response.
Bible teaches in Exodus 22,
right.
An escalation of force.
However, if you were to pull out a weapon on me,
yeah,
then that changes the dynamics of the situation.
That's like intent to kill.
Intent to kill?
Or intent to murder, I should say.
Well I can't see your intent. I can't see what your intent is, but I can see your actions, and I will respond with the way I perceive them.
Right.
And if you bring out something that can be threatening to my life, I need to go home to my family.
Amen.
So
yeah.
I have that right to protect not only myself, but my family's means of support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay, good deal.
Hey, but now I want to explore this that James really led us into, a question that's almost never asked of law enforcement, I think, about the emotion involved in doing justice.
Yeah, do you feel like ordained almost?
Well, when let's say we see a movie, what's a good justice kind of movie? Say that Ransom movie with Mel Gibson, mm-hmm. where somebody's kidnapped his little daughter, was
yeah.
it?
And Mel Gibson's always in good ones.
Yeah, right. And he's out, and he at the end of the movie, he gets the kidnappers, and everybody's cheering. You know, everybody's thrilled.
Yeah.
It's a great conclusion to a movie. And even the liberals in the theater, they're clapping. You know, they're happy. And they're mad at themselves that they're happy because they're applauding vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
But God is a vengeful God. And it seems to me when you see a movie like that, it's the whole movie is just a preview for Judgment Day, mm-hmm. when the wicked will be – they'll get what their just due is. Mm-hmm. So do you feel, Anthony, if you get the bad guy – does it feel right? Is it satisfying? Does it feel good?
Yes. Matter of fact, James, I'd like to ask you, okay. if you're able to stop someone from hurting someone else, mm-hmm. would that make you feel good or bad?
Oh, that would make me feel good.
Okay. And it's like in the same respect.
Yeah.
Even if my actions, responding correctly, takes the life of the other individual,
mm-hmm.
I can feel confident within myself that I've deterred him from not only hurting me, but hurting someone else if he
right.
were to try that same action on them.
Right. Now, you know how liberals feel good? Liberals get that good, warm feeling when they take a criminal and they help them get away with it.
Yeah.
And they help them go free, either in a technicality or whatever. That's what makes them feel good.
Yeah.
And it's not just that liberals have a different idea. It's not just different. It's wicked. It's
yeah.
corrupt. It's evil to be a liberal. Liberals are evil.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of what you were talking about earlier about lawyers. I don't know that much about the subject, but if you had a righteous law or a righteous government execution of the law, you wouldn't need a lawyer. You would just
That's
have
right.
the person say
That's
whatever
right.
it is that they did or confess. However, you wouldn't need somebody to almost kind of like lie
That's
to
right.
them.
That's right. Our judicial system right now, our justice system, it's just a system.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is the blame on the lawyers. It's a money-making system.
It's no longer a justice system now.
I'm only 21.
Right. I'm
just starting to get the hang of the government and American society. And I'm afraid that if I try and do something good, like defend a loved one, that they're going to send me off to jail.
Yeah, but James, you got to do right and risk the consequences.
Yeah, that's a good thing, Bob.
Hey, thank you so much for calling, James.
Thank you, guys.
I really appreciate
right,
that.
Bye.
His statement about lawyers just then, the only reason you need lawyers is if the law has been corrupted so that it's used as a weapon against the innocent. When the law is corrupted into a weapon against the innocent, then you need lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But in God's criminal justice system, he laid out an entire system that could run a nation. And he never said, it must have been an oversight on his part. He never said, and you need lawyers to pass the bar so they can represent you in court. God forgot that part, Anthony. What's with, you'd think if he spent so much time in the Bible laying the whole system out, you'd think he wouldn't forget such a big piece.
Well, that's what a lot of people think.
You know, Jesus didn't like the lawyers any, as far as I could tell. He really slammed them.
Amen.
We'll be back right after this live commercial break.
Bob Enyard teaches.
All right, now, not the recorded spot, but the live spot, and maybe I could have Anthony join me. Anthony, you and I were talking about the plot earlier.
It's
the manuscript that I've written as the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, I'm now the pastor for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
That it's an overview of the whole Bible, and we list all these debates that Christians have over doctrine.
Right.
Like, should there be miracles and healing or should there not? Should you speak in tongues or should you not? Can you lose your salvation or can you not? All those. Do you have to keep the Sabbath or the law or do you not?
Right.
There's a lot of those debates.
And you lay them out well.
We list the debates and all the verses on both sides of all mm-hmm. the issues.
What I enjoyed about that, Bob, is when you laid it out, you weren't laying it out for a theologian. This is something the average person can understand.
Well, thank you very much. That's very encouraging, Anthony. And so we take a topic, like let's say, should you keep the Sabbath? That's not a real hot one among most Christians, but it is among some. And there are a number of verses in the Bible that people use to argue that you should keep the Sabbath. And then there are other verses people use that argue that you should not keep the Sabbath. And so you have your proof text and your problem text, whichever side you take. And we lay all those verses out for all these major doctrinal debates. Mm-hmm. And I suggest in the book that it would take decades to study all these issues and come to a conclusion on one side or another. Would you say that's an exaggeration?
No, but you lay it out in a different way.
Right. We say if you understand the overview of the whole Bible, all these issues will resolve themselves and the tension between the verses will disappear.
Right.
That's the beauty of understanding the big picture. So call us 1-888-8-NYART and order the plot. All right, so we're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. So, Anthony, that Jesus, God did not just forget to suggest that we hire lawyers.
Right.
He it wasn't an oversight. Jesus didn't like the lawyers any.
Right.
Why should there be lawyers? The way God gave the law, it was simple.
I know it's simple, but people always think, they know that has to have some kind of law or something on the books. But they just don't want it to be God's. And I see that in our system. In my agency, if I start mentioning anything dealing, and I haven't gone into the other 2 points that God gives for punishment.
Right.
But can I touch on the next one?
Go ahead.
The next one that God, I've already mentioned restitution, but the next one is flogging or corporal
flogging.
Punishment.
Yeah, right.
Corporal punishment, and that includes flogging and several other aspects of it.
Right.
But I've noticed that whenever I've mentioned corporal punishment
to others in law enforcement?
To others in law enforcement, yeah. In my own agency, federal agency,
right.
It sends them bananas.
Oh, really? Well, just to mention flogging.
The last one that comes to mind right now, he's an attorney as well as a federal agent. We have those in different agencies.
That's bad.
And as soon as he heard me mentioning that, you know, we ought to have had corporal punishment for the situation, he put his hands on his ears, shook his head, I don't want to hear it, I do not want to hear it, and walked away.
Isn't that funny?
They
it's like
away.
The behavior of a child.
Yes.
So he doesn't want to hear it. Whatever happened to diversity and tolerance?
It was taken over by being politically correct.
That's right. Forget all that stuff. Okay, so we have restitution and corporal punishment mm-hmm. against the body.
That's correct.
Like Corpus Christi, Texas. That's the body of Christ in Texas, that mm-hmm. city. Too bad it doesn't act like the body of Christ.
Right.
But corporal, punishment in the body, like flogging. What's the third form of government?
Well, the third form of punishment?
Of punishment.
Punishment.
Thank you, sir.
Of course, is capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like the way you put it, and you teach that the criminal justice system is at the heart of the gospel. And you bring out that if capital punishment was evil, if that was bad, then what does that say about God that demanded his own son to die for our sins?
Uh-huh.
But since we've become nicer than God and put capital punishment to the side, because America, we don't have capital punishment in America as the Bible laid it out.
No. We could have 20-some thousand murders and execute 93 people
right.
in 1 year. So we don't have the death penalty.
Right. And
we have a lottery system.
Yeah, and it takes years for them to get there.
Yeah, 15, 20 years. And the Bible says, it tells us if it takes a long time to punish a criminal, you're going to have a crime epidemic.
Right, and that's what we have. Mm-hmm. One of my partners in the agency that works on my team, he before he came into our agency, he used to be in a state corrections parole officer mm-hmm. working in the jails, handling that case. And he's not a Christian, has no respect for God. But if you ask him, do prisons work, he'll tell you no. He points out the fact that what we're doing in our criminal justice system is not deterring the criminals. Mm-hmm. It's not correcting them.
Right. I've met so many law enforcement guys who either started by working as a guard in a prison or now or does so right now, and it's virtually universal that they say that prisons are counterproductive. They do not work.
Right.
They make the problem more severe. Let's go to the phone, and somebody wants to talk about Saudi Arabia. Dean, you're on with Anthony and Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, Anthony and Bob.
Please speak up, Dean.
Hey, hello. Both of you guys make a lot of sense.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I was in Saudi Arabia for 6 months during the Persian Gulf War.
Oh.
And I came away really impressed with their criminal justice system.
And why is that? Tell me.
Well, it's like they don't have this repeat offender problem
right.
we have in this country. They deal with stuff. And
right.
they deal with it with stern measures because they want to impress upon people that that stuff's not acceptable in their society.
Right. So the crime rate, and I think Saudi Arabia is a despicable country. But
right.
even in despicable countries or despicable, say a family like a crime family like the mafia,
right.
if they use some biblical principles, let's say the swift and painful death penalty, then they're not going to have underlings disobey the rules. They're going to obey. And if Saudi Arabia is going to have the swift death penalty for, let's say, for a rapist, they're not going to have rape the way we have it in America.
Absolutely not.
Now, what you're addressing, they call that recidivism, recidivist, those
right.
repeat offenders.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you from my own experience, I could apprehend a criminal that has broken federal law, stolen from people,
mm-hmm.
Stolen from the government or whatnot. I can take them into custody, and it might not be another 3 years before they ever stand before a judge to answer
brother.
On that.
So there's no consequence for years.
Right.
And that just trains them to continue to be a criminal.
And many of them do.
Well, thank you, Dean, very much. And now in Springfield, Massachusetts, Jack, speak your mind.
Hi there.
Howdy.
Well, you know, I think that when you have a criminal government, you have criminal thugs like Clinton, and you have criminals, basically a criminal system in which the Constitution no longer applies, you can't help but have a criminalized population.
Hey, Jack?
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but you have to realize when you get into many of the courts, they approach it justice by committee. So it's American people in there that are bringing us down, not just the politicians.
Uh-huh.
The justice by committee, you're saying, Anthony, you're saying the juries
that's correct.
Are often the ones who let the obvious, clear criminals go free.
That's right.
Well, you know, they call the politicians leaders. Of course, they're elected and appointed and servants. They're not leaders. We don't have leaders in America.
Well,
have servants.
Well, but Jack, isn't that – I think that's not a valuable observation to make because –
Well, I think it is.
No.
Because it depends on how you think about yourself. We are the people. It's a government of the people, by the people, and for
okay.
the people.
Hey, Jack, let me ask you a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Okay, does the Bible suggest that the majority of the people are righteous or that they're not righteous?
They're not righteous.
Okay, so if you have a government where the majority of the people have the authority, will
right.
that government likely be righteous or unrighteous?
Unrighteous.
Right. And so to bang your fist on the table and say, we the people should be in charge, and if we were in charge, and if the governing officials obeyed us, then we'd fix the problem.
Well, constitutionally, we are in charge.
We shouldn't be.
Well, I mean, you know, the founding fathers set it up like
they
that,
made it,
although we're not in charge.
They were wrong.
Well, we're not in charge of our own lives.
Jack, it's a facade.
What we need to do, we need to go into Washington, D.C., pull those.
Okay. I put him on hold. I don't think I'm going to go back to him. Anthony, Jack is a typical example of a conservative who's so angry, he's reactionary.
Right.
And he doesn't think about what he's saying.
Right. Now, I may be mistaken, but at one point in my life, I was exposed to the libertarian movement.
Right.
And they come across with many of the same attributes that Jack was
sort of constitutionalist and
right, and thinking that we derive our powers from the people.
Right,
and
the people are the authority.
Right, and the people are not God, and that's effectively
right.
what Jack seems to be espousing.
Right, that the people are the authority. The
right.
authority is God. You said earlier, I do not get my authority to apprehend a criminal in his home from the people.
That's correct.
I get that authority from God.
Right,
and let's talk about that for a moment.
Right.
Because I debated a knucklehead libertarian candidate downtown Denver a few months ago in front of a Libertarian Party crowd. And he was arguing that the government only gets its authority from the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I challenged him in front of the party, his party. I challenged him. I said, does the government have the authority to use nuclear weapons to defend our country? And he said yes. So I said, okay, does that mean an individual has the authority to own nuclear weapons? And he was stymied for about 5 minutes. He didn't know what to say. And he was embarrassed. Because then I said, how about a radical Islam imam here in Denver? Does he have the authority, if Osama bin Laden gave him enough money, to have a nuclear weapon?
Right.
And so authority does not come to the government through the people. That's a terrible error that conservative Christians have been seduced by.
And I hope I didn't misunderstand, Jack, but you know, if he thinks that the rulers get the power from the people and they're the ones that are really in power, then my question to him is, like, Jack, do you have the authority to take away my personal freedom?
Right.
If you don't have the authority as an individual, as a citizen, to take away my freedom, my personal freedom, then you can't give me, as a law enforcement officer, the authority to take away someone else's freedom.
Yeah, and it's really a facade. We were sold the bill of goods with the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Because to say that we are the ones in charge and the governing officials are just servants, that's not true. Look at the difference in the pay scale. Look at who gets the limos, who gets on TV, who passes the laws. It's not true. It's a facade. And 270 million people can't be in charge. Somebody's got to be in charge. And the bigger the committee gets, the less voice any individual is going to have. So we've got 100 million households in this country. You can't be in charge because Jack from Massachusetts will totally disagree with Jim from South Bend, Dean from South Bend. So which of those two are in charge? Who's the leader? That's a silly thing.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. We were lied to. We were deceived when we were told that the authority comes from the people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. Authority comes from God. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson gave us a lot of this garbage. And he hated God. Yeah. Thomas Jefferson hated God. And he was a liberal fink.
You know, you do address this in the plot. You bring this out.
I do. I don't remember that. I wrote that quite a few years ago. But I forgot that.
And there's a tape on God's criminal justice system that you have.
That we deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
God's criminal justice system, the album.
By the way, I viewed that and I also looked over the notes, and that's excellent. And anyone thinking about going into law enforcement ought to view that tape to get a biblical perspective.
And if you want to be able to witness.
That's right.
Get your family member and friends saved. Because how long do you have to wait before there's a headline in the news about a crime? That happens every day. And Christians will say, well, I'm praying for an opening. Every headline is an opening. Every headline. Anthony, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
It was really an honor to have you here. You know, we like to let people know out there in the audience that it's not just us in our underground bunker here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, but there are educated, knowledgeable, sophisticated people all around the country who support what we're doing, and it's their personal goal to see the Bible's message on criminal justice, society, morality, culture, the gospel, to get that out to more people. So, Anthony, thank you for helping us.
Thank you again.
It's just an honor.
It's my pleasure.
I'm thrilled. And so, hey, when the show is over, even though we have important guests here tonight, I'm going to stay in the studio for 10 minutes. And in fact, maybe even Anthony will take a call or two. And if you'd like to order our monthly Bible studies, our sermons, The Best of Bob, the 8 best shows of the month, mailed in the middle of the month and at the end of the month, and they're handy for handing out to people. Like tonight, if you're on the monthly Best of Bob mailing, then tonight's show, you take the tape when you get it in the mail, because this will be one of the 8 best of the month, and you send it, you give it to somebody, and you say, hey, come here, stupid, you, come over here. You got to listen to this. This will help you. Hey, it's Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.